Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Well, it's huge. You want to take care of the guys who do it the right way, you know, both on the field, off the field. And what it does, it gives guys like Javonte Williams, Patrick Surtain, and all the young guys, and they look up to that. And they see how these guys work. So when you reward your guys who work the hardest, the young guys are watching. I think it rubs off. It really helps with your culture, you know, moving forward.
All right, there is George Payton talking yesterday. In the wake of two big signings, Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton. Good morning, everybody. Good happy Tuesday to you as we inch ever closer to Thanksgiving. And hopefully for everybody, some time off. Mark Schlereth, good morning.
Good morning, Michael. How are you, buddy?
I am good. I'm good. How are you? You back and acclimated to being home? Get a little rest yesterday after a East Coast trip?
No, I spent 4 hours in the yard raking up and mulching leaves.
You're
and
an animal.
It was awesome. I got blisters on my hands. You know, I mean, it feels good. It feels good. My granddaughter was holding my hands. We went to, I took them over to the mall to get a treat. And my granddaughter goes, Popo, your hands are so dry. And I was like, that's because Popo is out working on the leaves.
Those are man hands right there.
That's right. That's right. So
while you were raking leaves, no doubt you had a chance to ponder and think about the Broncos signings.
Mm-hmm.
Had a chance to reflect. Now that you've had about a day or so to think about it, what do you think of the deals?
Well, I thought it was great. I thought it's incredible. That's exactly what George Payton said as he heard the sound as he came in is, man, you reward. You know, you reward the guys who work the hardest. You reward your players that way. And good things are going to happen to you as an organization. So I'm 100% with him on that. I mean, I've always been a firm believer in that. And it is, it's a culture setter. You know, it's what guys are looking for. So for me, I applaud George. I applaud the organization for getting that done. And, you know, ultimately, it's interesting. I know a lot of people get nervous about, and you talked about it, the two wide receiver situation and spending money there. But you're still, I mean, from a cap standpoint, you still have lots of cap room. You're still in a situation where I think next year you just continue to build on that. And I understand until you figure out what your quarterback situation is, I don't care how many receivers you have, it's not going to, you know, that's not going to change the fortunes of your football team. I saw Tyler in the afternoon. I don't know if he said it on air, but he put a tweet out. It's like, you know, a really good quarterback can make an average wide receiver great, but great wide receivers don't make average quarterbacks great. It doesn't work. There's not a transverse.
He is right about that.
Yeah, 100% he's right about that. And so that's still something that you got to figure out. But I will say this, if guys become available, if quarterbacks become available on the open market, we all know the Aaron Rodgers of the world, the Russell Wilsons of the world, heck, even the Matt Ryans of the world, if they become available, this becomes a much more attractive spot. If you know you've got some big time, you know, you've got some big time hard working players available to throw to.
All right. We'll get your reaction now that you've had a chance to think about it for the last day. Do you like these signings? Do you agree with them? Is there a part of it that you don't like? The last time the Broncos paid out big money to two receivers, it didn't work well. It didn't age well. So are you at all worried about that as well as what do these moves mean beyond just re-signing Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick? So we'll get your thoughts on that. RamosLaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043.
That's great. I mean, my linemates are doing a great job. I'm dishing and, you know, they're scoring. So timely goals. Guys are, you know, being opportunistic. So like I said, when I'm playing with the guys I'm playing with in this team that we're playing with, it makes it a whole lot easier.
So the Avalanche able to overcome an admitted from him shaky night from Darcy Kemper. and avoided the embarrassment of beating an Ottawa team that's been off for like 10 days because of COVID shutdown. So they win the game. Old-time hockey, 7-5. 7-5 at the barn last night. All kinds of great stats and milestones come out of this game. First of all, congratulations to our guy Jared Bednar. Cue the music. As Jared Bednar wins his 193rd game behind the bench to tie Bob Hartley as the winningest coach in Avalanche history. How about that? Yeah, that kind of snuck up on a lot of us, didn't it?
190. Well, when you think about hockey and you play 82 games a year, the fact that 193 games is the winningest coach is probably a scarlet letter on hockey.
Yeah, they do tend to recycle coaches or go through coaches rapidly. Yes.
Yeah,
you're right about that. Especially for a franchise as successful as the Avalanche have been.
Right, they've won, you know, they've won Stanley Cups. They've always, you know, they've been playoff team for a bunch. I mean, it's shocking to me. 193 is the right, I would have guessed so many more games than that. I'd have guessed, you know, I don't even know what I would have guessed, but it would have been a heck of a lot more than 193.
That was Nazem Kadri, by the way, who you heard talking, who is red hot right now. He's scored a point in 9 straight games, and during that time, he's got 19 points. 19 points in the last 9 games, 5 goals, 14 assists, and he is 4th in the league in scoring. And this is a guy I talked about in my Mile High Hockey podcast last week. I believe he is the X factor for a long Avalanche playoff run, that if you can keep him sane, keep him from getting suspended, and can count on him, emphasis on count on him for the playoffs, I believe this is a guy that can make all the difference in winning a Stanley Cup. I think he's got the game. I think he's got the attitude in terms of wanting those clutch kind of moments, pressure-packed moments in the playoffs. He just needs to maintain his cool. If he can do that, I think he could be the difference between winning a cup or not.
Can he? I mean, can he maintain his cool?
I don't know. He's had three playoff runs. He's had 3 playoff runs. 2 with Toronto, 1 with the Avs, wiped out because he couldn't keep his cool.
He just set a tone, though, doesn't he?
I like him. I like him as a player. I just wish he could.
Yeah. You gotta have, every now and again, you gotta have that guy that's a little bit touched, right?
I don't mind that, but not to the point where you get suspended for good chunks of playoffs.
Right.
So.
You gotta control your touchiness.
Control your touchiness. Keep your touchiness under control. Also, Cale Makar recorded 2 goals for the 2nd straight game. How about this one? You're talking about Bednar being the, ready to become the winningest coach. How about this? Cale Makar, 2 goals for the 2nd straight game. First defenseman in franchise history to record 2 consecutive multi-goal games.
Gosh.
Think about all the great defensemen.
We had the Messiah of defensemen.
Yeah, the Messiah, Footer, Blakey, Sandis Ozelinch. Guys like that, really good defensemen. Makar at a very young age, already setting a franchise record, so. There you go. A lot of good individual notes coming out of that win. And most importantly, the team note, they now have won 5 in a row, which is the longest active winning streak in the NHL. Yeah, admittedly, they've taken advantage of a soft part of their schedule, a couple games with Vancouver, San Jose, Ottawa. But, hey, for a team that's been kind of scuffling, trying to find its way early on in the season, not a bad way to fatten up a little bit, right?
No, it's great. I mean, it's awesome, obviously. And then, you know, Bednar, obviously, got the Vitalis, as I like to call him, got the extension. I mean, things are fairly bright.
Good.
Yeah. Things are bright in the sack.
There you go. Things are bright in the sack. Okay. We are off and rolling on a Tuesday morning. Of course, want to hear from you. Ramoslaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Up next. Why Mark should love these signings of Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick and what they represent compared to days gone past. That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
We were just trying to get better as a football team and win games. And these guys help us win football games. You can't have enough weapons, and now we have two really good ones. We have three with Judy and then some younger guys with Hinton. And so we like where we're at that position.
Some immediate reaction to George Payton's moves yesterday. Mark and Golden, I hope I'm wrong, but I equate the Cortland signing to MPJ, a couple of guys that won't last through injury, laughing all the way to the bank. Another one. Wow, George Payton showing his buffoonery. He is definitely not Ozzie Newsome. One more. Well, Von Miller's gone. Bradley Chubb is often injured, so Denver's not as much of an attractive place as it was for Aaron Rodgers. Hence maybe these moves. One more. Blisters. Blisters happen to those who don't work with their hands. Blisters happen when someone hires landscapers, then decide, oh, I can just do it.
No. That's, you know what?
Folks, let me just say, if you ever truly want to get under Mark's skin, his kryptonite are landscaping jokes.
Yeah, that's not, it's just not funny. I mean, that's what it boils down to. It's just not funny, Mike. It's not funny.
It's just not funny?
No. But I will say, you know, I mean, when the season starts and I start traveling, I have less time to do things. So, I haven't really been working outside like I normally do all spring and summer long. So, yeah, my hands are a little tender.
So, the signings, look, I like the signings. I don't love them. And the reason I don't love them is because my philosophy is you just don't overpay wide receivers. And where do I base that on? Well, I base on what happened here with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. When they were playing with Peyton Manning, the numbers were staggering. I mean, check these out. DT, four straight seasons with Peyton Manning, 402 catches, almost 6,000 yards, 41 touchdowns. Four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Sanders, two seasons in Denver, 177 catches, 2,539 yards and 15 TDs. Now, year one after Peyton, both continued to produce, both with over 1,000 yards, but those numbers were down from when they were with Peyton. And then the decline continued precipitously to the point where Thomas only spent one more full season after that 1 year following Peyton. Sanders had two more years here before he moved on. So The common denominators, when Peyton Manning was their quarterback, they put up astounding numbers. When he wasn't, and we started to see the average quarterbacking that we've seen here for so long, their numbers went down to the point where Broncos tried to unload him and did. So that's where I base the whole idea on the idea that wide receiver is a dependent position and you don't want to pay too much for these guys. Here's why I still like what they did. And it goes into a lot of the intangibles beyond just what they bring as players, production on the field. And you heard George Payton talking about it. We previewed this yesterday. I think you and I deserve credit. We nailed this right away in the immediate aftermath of finding out about the deals. Is that he is trying to send a message. He used this as a way to accelerate the culture building process over there. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It's exactly what he did.
Is that smart?
Sure.
Is it smart to try to buy culture?
Well, you're not buying culture. You're rewarding people who did it the right way.
Okay.
So to me, you're not trying to buy culture. You're not trying to say, hey, look, you know, look what we just did, or you're not patting yourself on the back. You're doing things that are right. And if you're doing things the right way and you're doing things, that way, to me, you're basically creating culture. You're not buying it. You're creating, saying, hey, guys, if you do things the right way, this is what we expect of you. This is the way we expect you to work. If you do things the right way, then ultimately you're going to be rewarded by this organization. And, you know, especially, I mean, Courtland Sutton was a second-round pick. Courtland Sutton was a guy that you've had high hopes for. He had the ACL. He's coming off of that. We all know, you know, we all know the story. We understand the story. But Tim Patrick is a guy that's has been a street free agent. He's bounced around, been a practice squad guy. So, you know, the fact that you are rewarding that guy, to me, is a really big deal. So I love that aspect of what George Payton is trying to create there.
And I would assume that you love the idea that this represents a shift from what John Elway did, how he acted, how he negotiated. It always bugged you, correct? That he would always be negotiating from behind. He would mm-hmm. wait until the guys were almost out of the barn before he would negotiate, and therefore the price would always go up, or he'd let guys go entirely, and then you'd have to go out and pay extra on the free agent market to try to replace. This is, I would assume, this is the kind of proactiveness that you like. Because it's the anti-Elway way of negotiating?
I just think that you're always better off rewarding guys early. Using that as kind of a catalyst to get guys done, and doing it before they get there and say, well, shoot, you know, I have two games left? I'll make it through these two games. I'd rather just be a free agent. And then coming and maybe getting a little bit of a hometown discount, if you will. Maybe you're paying a little bit more because there's half the season left. And this didn't just happen. It wasn't like, okay, we hit the bye week. So now let's start negotiating. You know, this has been going on all season long. This has been something they've been working on. These things just don't happen like all of a sudden go, hey, we're in the bye week. What do you think about signing a new contract? Want to do that? Okay, great. That sounds awesome. This has been going on. It's a give and take. And they got a deal that was maybe not the best deal they could have gotten. If they did it during training camp, they could have probably gotten a little bit better deal. But the bottom line is they got a good hometown discount. And you look at where Courtland Sutton, if Courtland Sutton continues to trend on the upward scale, right? Because he's sitting around where Cooper Kupp is. He's sitting around, you know, from total value of contract. He's sitting right there at, you know, maybe not in the top 10, but, you know, underneath the top 15 paid guys, top 20 paid guys. And then again, what does it become to your total cap value? How does it look, or how does it translate on your cap? And if you can manage two wide receivers for what the price of one wide receiver would cost you if you let him get to free agency, like, that's smart business. It's smart culture building. It's smart business. It's something that, I mean, how many guys have we seen where nothing gets done and then you have to pay a premium for that guy? The case in point was, if you would have, Brock Osweiler was a guy that you went up to over $16 million for before he went to, you know, before he went to free agency, and he went to
Houston.
Like, you would have, had you come out during training camp or whatever, if that's the move you were going to make, you know, you would have gotten him signed for what? You know, 10 million bucks?
Yeah. 9, 10. Yeah.
9?
Yep.
Instead, he goes all the way up to 16, and
yep.
You didn't want to, I mean, because you let it linger. You let it go. You didn't take care of it early. And so those are the things to me that make the most sense.
Normally, I'm a fan of to linger.
Yes.
But
you
in
like
this case,
to linger.
It's
when
not
it comes
smart
to pajamas.
Linger. Yes.
In the Christmas season,
pajamas.
You love
to
linger.
You
linger.
Love to linger.
I love to
let
linger.
It linger.
But when
to
it comes
linger.
To getting deals done, don't linger. Morning Brew, coming up next. Does this make the Broncos more attractive to a veteran quarterback who might be on the move? And more fun numbers and notes from the Avs shootout win, 7-5 last night over Ottawa. Old time hockey at the barn. That's coming up in the Brew next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Hour 9 News, Bronco Insider Mike Bliss will join us here in just a second. As always, we welcome your commentary on the Ramoslav.com text line, 303-713-1043. I was watching the Manning thing, and I thought it was boring, too.
Ooh. Wow.
Okay. Gary and me, the Broncos are not getting Rodgers or Wilson. I hope this station does not go on about it for the next 6 months. Will never happen.
Why?
They could get Watson, but they will give up what it'll take. But will they give up what it'll take to get him? They will be stuck with Bridgewater or whoever they may end up drafting.
What about Matt Ryan?
Ryan seems a little washed to me, but all right, we can talk more about that. Mike Kliss joins us now, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. You've had a day or so to kind of reflect on what the Broncos did yesterday. All in all, do you like the moves?
On the receivers, yes.
That doesn't sound too bullish right there.
Well, do I like the moves? You know, I mean, the contract extensions, you know, Tim Patrick almost seemed like a no-brainer. He was, you know, he's not a break-the-bank type of receiver. He's a nice receiver. You tie him up for $10 million, which, you know, the rates are going up. The salary cap's going up. I was mildly surprised about Courtland Sutton, not that you would let him go, but I thought they might wait a little longer past the ACL injury before they re-upped him. And then, but then again, I saw the contract and $15 million a year. You know, looking at the list of receivers and what they make, it's amazing how many make between $18 million and $27 million, which is a year, which is DeAndre Hopkins. He left some money on the table. He could have got more had he waited for March and free agency. But the Broncos got, you know, they saved some money in the long run. About $3 million a year on Sutton, maybe a million or two a year on Patrick. So I understand why they did it.
So everybody talks about the yearly value, but can you give us some insight? Do you have any insight on what their cap hits are going to be over the next couple of years? Because that, to me, is the bigger issue or the bigger part is, can you get a receiver, like a tandem of receivers like Patrick and Courtland Sutton, and combine those two on a cap value standpoint that's like getting one kind of premier guy?
Yeah, no, I don't. The contract details are not out yet. They will be reported possibly today, tomorrow. Don't have that yet, but I know this about the salary cap. I mean, look at the Los Angeles Rams, who had like $2 million in cap space, and they wind up with Von Miller. They wind up with OBJ. I mean, you can manipulate that cap to be anything you want at the end of the day. You have to do some gymnastics there, but those contract gurus have a way of adjusting and converting salaries into signing bonuses. There's all kinds of ways they can adjust the salary cap. The key really is whether you have the cash to afford those guys. And the Broncos are really here for all the problems that people think they have with not having an owner. They seem to be flush with cash. And this was $90 million in midseason that they committed to in a span of 3 days. So, you know, it's a team that had the cash, and it had plenty of cap space. And so they were able to do these deals.
I want to ask you, Mike, about a tweet that you sent out yesterday in which you talked about how Teddy Bridgewater, yeah, right. Whenever you hear that, everyone's like, what did I say? But you sent out a tweet in which you talked about Teddy Bridgewater's helped five receivers get paid big money in the past 8 months. And you mentioned Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, Courtland Sutton, and Tim Patrick. Can you expand on that a little bit? What is the point you were trying to deliver there?
I guess the point was complain, if you will, and certainly that tweet drew some complaints. you know, Teddy has been good enough for at least five receivers. I mean, these guys got paid good money. Curtis Samuels, I think, is like the 14th highest paid receiver at almost $12 million a year, about 11, over 11. You know, he's the one that fed the ball. The other thing about all these receivers getting paid is that, you know, it is probably the most dependent position on the field. A receiver needs a quarterback. The quarterback can do his thing, handing it off, throwing it to whoever he wants to. One receiver is dependent on the quarterback, and Teddy has been efficient enough to feed the ball to these receivers enough for them to get paid. I guess it's not popular to say this right now, and in light of the Ole, the head nod that he gave on the interception return, but he has been a decent quarterback here in his career, and I think he's been decent this year. You know, I think because of Teddy, the Broncos' offense is such that they have to be ahead to win the game. They have to start out ahead to win the game. Too often the Broncos this year have started off, you know, they always defer, and then they're behind by the time the offense, before the offense gets on the field. And that's not how the Broncos win games. If the Broncos can somehow get the early lead against the Chargers, that's going to be the key this week. But I think under the right circumstances, Teddy Bridgewater's a decent quarterback is what it all comes down to with that tweet. And it was, you know, mixed reviews on the tweet.
Well, I know one thing. Teddy certainly set a tone across the National Football League. If you throw an interception, you better go get it, because I saw a bunch of quarterbacks. I saw a bunch of quarterbacks this weekend going, I'm not going to get Teddy Bridgewatered. That's what they were saying. Mike, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for popping on.
See you guys.
All right. There goes Mike List, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet River Sportsbook. Coming up next, does these George Payton signings show the Broncos are set to follow the Vikings model? That's next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.